Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servants, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure, they are and were created.
Thou art born. Father, we thank you. We appreciate you this afternoon. Thank you for what you have intended to do in this meeting. Lord, we ask you to speak to us. We ask you to transform our lives. Lord, we ask you to take us to a new height. And thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Let's be seated. Praise the Lord. I'm so happy to be here this afternoon. And I'm grateful to our dear pastor and his wife for asking me to come. And where they lodge me, I was just praying. I wish I had time to overstay in that place. And the way they are loading me with food. And I was telling my brother, okay with me. I said, this is temptation. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. I appreciate every one of us. Pastor Ayokadeva, Pastor Toby, Prophetess Linda, I'm correct. Prophetess Matthew, I'm correct. And of course, we should appreciate our landlord, Mr. Lau. Thank you, sir. Praise God. And I thank everyone who is here this afternoon. And I pray the Lord will minister to every one of us in Jesus' name. We have a theme that we are looking at. Am I correct? And what's the theme? The encounter. And in looking at this theme, I'd like us to start first by looking at the book of Prophet Isaiah, chapter 6. First, let's read. Okay, we can read all from verse 1 to verse 8. I hope we'll finish that today. Are we there? Okay. Now, we're going to read alternately from verse 1 to verse 8. And please, let's read it loud and clear. I read verse 1, the congregation reads verse 2, and we do that till we get to verse 8. I use the King James Version. But the version projected is the New King James Version, and that's what I'm going to use anyway. So, you can choose New King James Version too if you like. So, we read it alternately. Verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple.
Stood the seraphims, 6 wings, 2 on God's face, 2 on God's feet, 2 on the fly.
And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Then said I, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquities taken away, and thy sin purged.
Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me.
Praise the Lord. So, Minister K Spirit, thank you. I just turned your number into song, into prayer for myself, that the praises of God will be on my lips. Thank you so much for that number. God bless you. I wish I could sing, but I'm so bad in singing. So terrible. So it's good you stick with what you know you can do. God has not given me the voice to sing. Praise God. Now, verse 1 again. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. I like this opening verse. It's about two different worlds, two different kingdoms. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, King Uzziah represents the political world, and Isaiah represents the religious world, if you allow me to put it that way. Many times, the news we hear, the events we know of, are only limited to the political world. News that make headlines only come from them, and nothing is heard from the church. Everything is about what's happening in Asorok, what's happening with our governments, what's happening with people in authority. And in fact, sometimes the calendar, the events in the calendar are referred to based on the events of these men. In the year that King Uzziah died, you remember the days of some of our parents. Some of them don't even know their birthday. You know what they call their birthday? How they describe it? They say, after this war, when this war started, or when this particular king was reigning, that was few days after it, was when my father was born. And that's how they describe everything. Everything is limited to them. Everything is about their births and their deaths. But Isaiah said, the same year that King Uzziah died, what happened? I saw also. It should not be limited to them. They should not be the only one making headlines. They should not be the only one talking. They should not be the only one creating events. In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord. I had an encounter also. It's not about their births and their deaths. You remember? In the book of Matthew chapter 1, he said, this is the book of the generation of Jesus. Am I correct? The son of Abraham, the son of David. And then you see what we call
the genealogy or the generation of Jesus. Abraham begat who? Isaac. And Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Judah and his brethren. And Judah begat Perez or Israel. And then some of us don't like to read such places in the Bible. Am I correct? You are bored. This one is giving birth. This one is giving birth. The other one is giving birth. Go and read. Even in the book of Genesis chapter 5, the Bible in verse 1 talks about the generation of Adam. That one is even worse. Because from Adam, and everybody was giving birth and dying, giving birth and what? Dying. That's the only news. Until one man came. I think it's in verse 21 or 22. They call him Enoch. And his own record did not stop at being given birth to and giving birth to children and dying. Something else was written. It says, and Enoch walked with God. The meaning is that Enoch encountered God at the age of 65. It was that encounter that elongated his own story. Every other one, the same thing, same pattern. So the Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, maybe that could have been the only record for that year, that Uzziah did what? Died. And what's so special about Uzziah? That man didn't end well. Uzziah didn't end well. But he said, the same year he died, I encountered the Lord. So let our history not only be remembered for who was born and who died, let our history also be remembered by the lives and destinies of those who actually encountered the Lord. And that's why we're here, for an encounter with God. Encounter seems to be a big work. Maybe we should make it a meeting with God. Somebody meeting God and having his life transformed. In the year that King Uzziah died, I also did what? I saw the Lord. Now, when he said, I saw the Lord, let's move on one more. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. I encountered the Lord. And the question is, have you never encountered the Lord before? What's so special about this one? Haven't you met the Lord before now? Haven't you seen the Lord before now? Would somebody be preaching and would never have met the Lord? You need to read the first 5 chapters of the book of Isaiah, and you will realize no man could have come up to speak like Isaiah spoke if there was no encounter. The first 5 chapters were meaningful. The first 5 chapters were great chapters of his life. When you start even from verse 1 on and on, all the things he prophesied in verse 1, in chapter 1, in chapter 2, in chapter 3, in chapter 4, they were great things. Up to chapter 5, Isaiah was speaking the mind of the Lord. Isaiah was declaring the counsel of God. And if the book of Isaiah had just been limited to 5 chapters, it would have made sense, honestly. That would have been sufficient. Jonah, how many chapters? How many chapters? Jonah, how many chapters? Is it 3, 4? Obadiah, only 1. So Isaiah would have beaten some people. But do you know today, in the entire Bible, the book of Isaiah comes second in terms of the number of chapters, in terms of length. After Psalms, the next is Isaiah. But it could have stopped. It could have ended in chapter 5. It could have ended in chapter 5. If not for the encounter in chapter 6 that gave us how many extra chapters? 60 extra chapters. Don't end it this way. Don't stop at this height. Don't stop at this level. Chapter 5 is big, but not enough. 5 chapters are many, but there can be more. But that encounter elongated the ministry of this man. That encounter took him further. Paul the apostle had his first encounter in Acts chapter 9. Have you read it before? And you know what? Each time he faced any of the kings, each time he stood to defend himself, he will always do what? Refer back to that encounter, the first one on the road to Damascus. But that wasn't the only encounter Paul had. It was just the beginning. And what you didn't see, or what you didn't find out in chapter 9, you will see by the time he was what? Explaining or testifying about it again, at least about two or three more times. In the same book of Acts, he told us what actually happened that afternoon. He was almost in that encounter. Immediately after that experience, he stopped eating. He began to fast. And after his eyes were opened and they lay hands on him and he received the Holy Ghost, case went out of him. The Bible says he began to preach immediately. Immediately. That encounter propelled him. That encounter ignited his life. And they began to say, the one who was persecuting us is now preaching against what he was against. Now preaching for what he was against. Now standing with us. So much so he got to Jerusalem. Everybody ran away from him. He said, this one. And he took Barnabas to say, no, this man had met with God. This man had encountered him. And they received him. But that was not all. The second encounter, you remember? It was in the church that was in Antioch. In chapter 13, what happened? There were prophets and teachers in one church. How many of them? Five. Big church. Big church. Not because of the size of the congregation, because of the number of prophets and teachers who were present. And the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called them. And that meeting, that encounter, gave Paul, gave the church, what we now call the first missionary journey. But it started where? As an encounter first. So each time you encounter the Lord, what does that encounter do for you? That encounter takes you further. You can't go far without another encounter. Don't rest where you are. Don't sit on your oars. I was in the university. In my part one, I messed up. What did I do? I failed. I took 11 courses as an undergraduate in UI. In my first year, guess how many of the 11 courses I passed? 6. I failed 5. I tried. One of my lecturers called me into his office and locked the door. Just two of us. He said, tell me the truth. Who helped you to write your work? How could you have made distinctions in your ordinary level? And you are coming here to score funny marks? Tell me the truth. I'm not going to expose you. You are in me. Good hands. But tell me the truth. Who helped you? I said, nobody. I wrote work myself. And you got this decision? I said, yes. He said, what happened? I said, I don't know. Very funny marks. One chemistry has got 19 over 100. Did I not try? Physics. I scored 32 over 100. Nobody is clapping for me. You don't clap for a man like that. You don't clap for a boy scoring 32 over 100. You think you have had the worst. One math course, I scored 8. I got to mathematics class in UI. I said, look at what they are teaching. Very simple. I learned all of these things in additional mathematics in secondary school. And I will carry my bag and walk away from the class. Simple. What is algebra? What is matrix? Differentiation and integration. Come on. I scored, in the last one, I scored 5 over 100. I disappointed myself, not just the lecturer. You don't take such results home and show your parents. I didn't allow them to know. And I packed my bags, my part 2. So I'm going. My father told me before I entered UI, go and preach. You pray too much in this house. You fast. You read your Bible. I said, my father told me I should go to theology school. I didn't listen. Now I'm going to theological school. So 1990, when I was supposed to be in part 2, I packed my bag and I said, I'm withdrawing. Even when UI had not withdrawn me. And a friend of mine told me, he said, you can still make it. You can sit up. My result in part 1 was on pass. And in part 2, I came back to school. I didn't withdraw again. I sat down. My part two result was on 2-1. Part three, 2-1. Part four, 2-1. But part one, pass. But I had to sit up again. I had to tell myself, Shola, this is not you. This is a fake Shola. This is a false man. And I went back to my study. I sat down as I used to sit down. I started attending lectures regularly and punctually, doing my assignment and homework. And the results showed. Maybe somebody will go back home and sit down again and start all over again. You can never go far until you have series of encounters. Some don't go far in their marriage, but you will go far. Some don't go far in their education. You will go far. Some don't go far in ministry. You will go far. When Moses began to announce to Pharaoh, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. He said, who is the Lord that I shall allow you to go? Go back to your work. And God began to show some signs and wonders. God began to bring his hand upon Egypt. And by the 50th sign, the swarm of flies in Egypt, Pharaoh called for a meeting. And you know what Pharaoh said? In the book of Exodus chapter 8, I think verse 28, he said, now I will allow you to go. I will release you. But on one condition, this is the clause, don't go far. Don't go far. I will release you. You go. But you know what? When you leave, don't go far from Egypt. Stay where? At the borders of Egypt. Remain at the borders of Egypt. Don't go to Canaan. Hey, don't go for those promises in Canaan. Stay here at the borders of Egypt. You know the meaning of that? When I need you again, it's easy for me to pull you back into bondage. And you are here. You have limited yourself to the borders of Egypt. You have limited yourself to the boundaries between the world and the church. You have said, this is how far I will go with God. I sneak in. I sneak out. Pastor, I'm not ready to become anything in this church. You pray, I will respond and say what? Amen. That's all. I don't want to go far. I don't want to be a fanatic. People have limited themselves. People have said, I can't go beyond this point. People have said, my experience in God can never be more than this. And God is saying, this day, after this encounter, you shall go far. What are you doing in the borders of Egypt? Why romancing with the world? Why are you comfortable with the world? 1 John chapter 2 verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they are not of God, but they are of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. And anyone who does the will of God shall abide forever. Stop romancing with the world. Stop dancing around sin. Stop being too smart. You can't outsmart the devil. He's been here before you. He's met all kinds of people like you. Give a gap. Let there be a distance between you and the world. Don't let Pharaoh stretch his hand and take a hold of you. Let's go far. And what? Far away from Egypt. And that encounter in chapter 13 of the book of Acts took Barnabas and Paul on another missionary journey. And they went far. Because they encountered the Lord. Why are you not doing exploits? Why are there no miracles? Why are we seeing the same thing we have been seeing in your life 20 years ago? They are still the things we are seeing. Same signs, same wonders, same miracles, same attitude. You have not changed. 10 years after I graduated from the university, a friend met me and he said, Brother Shola, you have not changed. I said, I've changed. I've changed. He said, you don't understand what I mean. May I never understand what you mean? 10 years, we saw last. 10 years. We met last. And you are seeing me after 10 years. And you are telling me nothing has changed in my life. That's a cause. Chapter 13. Paul moved further. Chapter 13. Barnabas moved ahead. Because of what? An encounter with the Lord. When last did you encounter God? When last did you meet God? I have never seen men and women who met God constantly on regular basis and their lives remained the same. Not Cain spirit. Somebody came to our church. I was ministering. If you don't understand Yoruba, let somebody beside you interpret, okay? He was praising God. She was praising God. Guess what she said? Any more uko? Have you heard that before? Any ko mo? Ah, no. Somebody who met him never knew him. Somebody who encountered him never knew him. And you are bold to say that about God. You are bold to sing that about Jesus. That somebody who met him never knew him. That those who now know him never met him. Can that be true? Go through the scriptures. None ever met God. None ever encountered God and remained the same. Not one. The day I met him, my life changed. I was preaching to some students. I went to preach in a high institution and I saw a long queue of people waiting for buses. And I felt that was an opportunity for me to preach. And I brought out tracts and I began to give them tracts. And of course, somebody challenged me. He said, "What are you doing? You are too fanatic." I said, "It's not my fault. You think I like to distribute tracts here? You think I wanted it? I saw strangers on a queue. And somebody just came. Take, 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 take. You think it's easy?" That was how I replied him. I said, "But if you saw what I saw, you will do what I'm doing." You think it's my wish? I'm just seeing sinners. And something just moves on your inside. And you're saying you need to give your life to Christ. You think you are correct upstairs? Somebody you have never met, you have never known. And you intrude into his privacy. You entered into his space without his permission because of the gospel. I saw a video of somebody trying to pray to another friend in a train. And that young man gave this old man a slap. And the man did like this. It didn't pain him. I wish I could be there to defend him, but it was not possible. What made him to do that? He encountered God. He encountered God. Why do you think somebody will see sin and turn his back? Why do you think Joseph will be given not cheap sex, free sex? Free sex. What is free is better than what is cheap. You got a car. You said, "How much is it?" Say, $100,000. Very cheap. And another person brought another car. What, $7 million? Say, "How did you get it? How much?" Said, "Free. Oh, which one would you prefer?" They gave him free sex. You, they have not given you anything free. You are looking for it. What made Joseph to turn his back on his master's wife? They were begging him with sex and he was running away. But you are looking for it. No encounter yet. You have no encounter yet. What will make you to turn your back on it? You have not met that person. You are finding it difficult to live above sin. You are finding it difficult to overcome loss. The encounter has not come. It has not come. We see that in the life of Paul was making progress from time to time. He was in Corinth in Acts chapter 18. He preached. They didn't accept his message. He was ready to leave. That night, God appeared to him. You know what God said? He said, "Saul, don't worry." What did he say to him? He said, "Stay here. I have what? Many people here." You see the way they are rebelling. It's not true. It's not true. It's not genuine. It's fake rebellion. Stay there. They will accept you. The Corinthian church came out of that. It was that encounter that made him to stay. Why are people not stable in the will of God? No encounter. Why are you finding it difficult to stand in the counsel of God for your life? No encounter. Why are you not patient to be in the will of God? The sister told us, Say, Brother Shola, find me a husband. Say, if you don't find me a husband, I will backslide. When I didn't have the heart of a pastor, I would say backslide. But I no longer say that. God has given me a pastoral heart. I no longer say that. I will backslide. I will need Jesus. It was here in this Maryland somewhere that a friend of mine, I met him. We were in the university together. We served God together. And he told me God disappointed him. He said, God offended him. And I said, please forgive God. Yeah. He said, I served the Lord in the campus. I did this for God in the campus. I thought by the time I graduate, God will give me a good job. God will give me a good wife. God will bless me with children. Look at my life. There has been no change. After how many years? 2 years. 2 years he was complaining. When you see men who grumble, young people who murmur, no encounter. Come to church early. Why would I come to church early? Why would I come to church early? No encounter. You have not met him. You have not seen him. You have not heard him. You have not been listening to him. You have been hearing somebody else. He was, after that, after chapter 18 of Acts, Paul was in Jerusalem. James told him, everybody here thought you are a crazy man. Everybody thought you are not living according to the Jewish custom, Judaism. Go and prove to them that you have not abandoned Judaism for Jesus. Go and prove to them that you are one leg in, one leg out. And he listened. And he went to the temple and did as he was instructed. And you know what? They rose up against him. They dragged him out. They almost killed him until the centurion came and took him from them. And while that was going on, God came to him. He encountered God. May you encounter God. At every junction of your confusion, may you encounter God. And God said, they will not accept your testimony. Depart from Jerusalem. You know what God said? He said, henceforth, I'm sending you far. Henceforth, I'm sending you how or where? I'm sending you far. He heard him. He listened to him. And then he went far again. So I'm sending you far to the Gentiles. You are not going to limit your ministry to Jerusalem. You are not going to limit your ministry to Judea. You are not going to limit your ministry to Israel. I'm sending you far. And God sent him far. And in sending him far, he was on a voyage, going to Rome. And for days, there was no light, no sunlight. For days, only night, no day. There was a big storm, Euroclydon, blowing contrary to them. And everybody was confused. After 14 days of abstinence, of fasting, the Bible said, Paul stood up. What did he say? He said, the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, appeared to me. And he declared, there shall be no loss of any life. 276 people with him. And he declared, none of you shall lose your life. How? He said, the angel of the Lord, whose I am, whom I serve, appeared to me. I have had an encounter with him. He spoke to me. Hey, I'm leaving Lagos. It's not working. Has he spoken to you? I'm giving up. It's not working. I'm not getting results. Has he spoken to you? And on that voyage, there was no loss. Everybody escaped. Because one man had encounters with the Lord. Not once, not twice. Repeatedly. All his life. And it was those encounters that took him far. Hey, Paul didn't die by persecution. Paul died having completed his ministry. Look, you know what he said to the Corinthians? He said, I don't even know whether to live or to stay. Somebody was so confident over death that he was not negotiating anything. He said, I'm thinking I should stay because of you. He wrote to Timothy. He said, I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Everything I needed to do, I have done. I have completed it. And after completing it, he still remained here. Don't say, I'm ready to go home after your work is done. You can still stay here far. You can still stay here more. Billy Graham in his life, he said, I remain immortal until my work on earth is done. He was about 100 years old when he left. Men who had God, men who encountered God, could stand and declare his counsel for their generation. What is God saying about you? What's God saying about your wife, about your husband? What's God saying about your children? What's God saying about your future? You don't have to be confused. One experience of meeting the Lord is not enough. That experience can't take you throughout your life. You've got to have repeated experiences, encounters with God. Every day. We call it daily dynamic encounters with God. Every day. Don't step out of your house until you have met him. Don't. I don't greet my wife if I've not met him. We share the same room. We share the same bed. Encounters can be every day. I'm not talking about once in a while encounter. Hey, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34. Blessed is the man who heareth God daily. Who watches at his post. Every day. Every day. But we have Christians in this generation who think salvation is the ultimate, not knowing it's just the beginning. Yeah. Jesus said, I am the door. You have just entered the door. You've not entered the bedroom. You've not gone into every chamber in that house. One experience is not enough. Don't be satisfied. You met him when you got saved. Several other encounters must come. Several other meetings must come that you can refer to. That you can keep in your archives and have something to tell the generation that's coming. You remember what those men in Israel said? They said, we have heard with our ears. Our fathers have told us. When you become a father, what will you say? What will you tell your children? He said, we have heard with our ears. Our fathers have told us. Psalm 44 verse 1. We have heard with our ears. Our fathers have told us. May you have fathers who will have some reports of God to give to you. May God give us fathers who we have testimonies of encounters. What do you think Gideon was troubled? Why do you think Gideon was not satisfied? Was he the only young man in his generation? When the angel of the Lord appeared to him and the angel said to Gideon, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Whoa, what did Gideon say in response? Don't cajole me, angel. Few men can talk to angel like that. So don't cajole me. If the Lord be with us, you know what he was saying? It's not about me, it's about us. It's about us. My concern is not about my life. So selfish, so self-centered with your Christianity. You have escaped sin, but there are so many others around you who are still in the bondage of sin. You don't care. One king in Israel, Hezekiah, God told him, because of what you have done, I'm going to bring trouble. But the trouble won't come in your time. It will come in the time of your son. You know what he did? He was rejoicing. He said, thank God, at least my generation is what? Free. But you spoiled the thing for the next generation. You brought trouble upon the next generation. You know some of the prayers some of us are praying in some of our churches? Some of our ancestors caused those prayer points to come up. You didn't see those prayer points in the Bible. You got them from your ancestors. I saw one people as I was coming into Lagos yesterday. Freedom from polygamous witchcraft. Or which one is polygamous attack? Eh? If your father had two wives, the other wife is your enemy. I thank God your landlord is not your enemy. You fight your landlord. Somebody gave you a house, even though you pay, and you are fighting him. Somebody gave you a daughter to marry, and you are fighting him. Somebody gave you a son to marry and the woman has become a witch. One day somebody will call you also a witch. They don't abuse us men. We are very free from witchcraft. I've never seen any woman say, it's my father-in-law. Everything is mother-in-law. Women, deliver yourself. Father-in-law has never been a problem. Even though he's in a canker, even though he's a Rosicrucian, he has never been a problem. He's in reform of fraternity. Nobody will talk. But a mother who struggled to raise you up all alone when your father neglected you now has become a witch. You are the number one witch. You can't take care of your father. You can't take care of your mother. One woman came to me. He said, my mother didn't take care of me. I'm not going to take care of her. I said, if you fail to take care of her, you are dead. He said, well, she didn't do anything for me. It doesn't matter. honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you, that your days may be long on the earth. If things are not working for you, how are you relating with your parents? The father who took care of you, the mother who took care of you, now it's your turn to take care of him. She has become a witch. All those pastors and prophets who have turned your parents into witches, may God turn their own parents into witches too. Even if your mother is a witch, she could have killed you when you were small. Is it not that she wants to kill you? Now that you have become big, he increases people greatly. Have you not read it? Psalm 103 or Psalm 105 verse 24. He increases people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. When I was not a Christian, they didn't kill me. Now that I'm born again, it's not possible. They told me my aunt is a witch. I went to the family house in Oka. I stood there and said, they said you are a witch. Come here. I called all of them. How many of you are witches here? They denied. I said, I want to pray for all of you. Whether they agreed or not, they next them. I pray for all of them. I said, I'm going back now. You'll be going back. Say, when are you going back? Next week, I'm still around. Tomorrow, you are gone. Because of fear. You didn't know God. You know the devil more than you know God. And that's the problem of this generation. Well, why would somebody pray for 3 hours and do 3 hours, 100 prayer points for the devil? You didn't know him. You never met him. Coming out of your closet with shining eyes. I truly prayed one day as a student. I came out of the chapel of resurrection at the chapel in UI. I said, where's the devil? The devil just appeared now. I want to slap you. When you have encountered God, there is an amount of anointing you carry. There is an amount of power you carry that no devil in hell can withstand. You are so conscious of the devil. In the food you want to eat, the devil is there. Pray over this food. I bind him. Which demon is there? When you want to pray, what do you do? Give thanks. Receive it with thanksgiving. Now, a demon, and one person was praying. I just carried the food. I began to eat. When you finish praying, whatever remains, you take. I was hungry. They brought food. And he was praying long prayer. My friend, come on. They brought food. I was hungry. I started eating. They said, you need provide. I said, we pray before we started this meeting. Prayer has affected. I said, my hands are anointed. Don't you know? Come on, I've touched it. Anything I touch. This one is blessed. Do you know how many poisons they have given you and you didn't know? And they never affected you. When somebody comes out and says, I can't fall, there is an encounter that has brought that. Or you think it was easy to face the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem, the council of the Jewish elders, and they summoned Peter and John, and they faced them, and they told them, don't preach again in the name of Jesus. Don't mention that name. You can preach, you can pray. If we hear Jesus, you are coming back to the prison. They threatened them, we will kill you. And when they asked them to respond, they didn't give a bow and stepped out. They said, you too judge for yourself. Acts chapter 4 verse 19, if it's not in your Bible is not correct. Check it. They said, you judge yourself. Whom should we obey? Should we obey you more than we obey God? You know the next thing he said? Peter said in verse 20, he says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and we can't but speak the things that we have seen and heard. You know the meaning of that? What we say is a product of our encounter. What we say, you hear us preaching. I encountered God before coming here. I heard him. What I'm declaring, he said it to me. I heard him. Remember those sons of Sceva? How many of them? 7. That man. No X chromosome. Sceva didn't have what? X chromosome. Only why? Producing how many sons? 7. And those 7 were religious guys. They wanted to serve God. And you know when they faced a demon, what did they say? We are Jordi in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preached. That looked religious. That looked religious, spiritually sensible. You say, we are Jordi in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. And the demon asks, I know Jesus. I know Paul. Who are you? And all of them looked at one another. Before they could turn back, the demon possessed leaped on them, beat them, injured them, tore their, the seven men ran out naked. Who cast demons out like that? The demons cast them out. Seven men. Seven men. When you see somebody struggling with demons, he has had no encounter. When we were talking yesterday, they called me. And they said, we are ministering in a one. They said, we are ministering deliverance in our campus. And this girl is, today is a bad day. She's manifesting demon everywhere. It's scattered now. I said, bring her here. Give her phone. I said, what's her name? My friend? That's enough. If I hear any noise again, I said, that demon, get out. I said, did you hear? I said, yes, sir. And you are struggling with demons. And you are cutting yourself, tearing yourself. He said, we cannot but speak those things which we have seen and heard. That which was from the beginning. 1 John chapter 1. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have seen, which we have heard, which we have handled, which we have taught of the word of life, that is what we declare, that you also may have fellowship with us. We declare what we have seen and heard. No wonder they gave us that song. My eyes have seen, my ears have heard, and so my... You won't talk about it if you have not seen it, if you have not heard it. Paul said to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 11 verse 23, he said, that which I delivered unto you, I received. I received it. I didn't just climb up. I didn't just pick my pen to write. Everything I delivered to you, I received. I met Christ. He said, the gospel I preached, talking to the church in Galatia, he said, the gospel I preach, I didn't receive it of any man. I didn't attend any Bible school where they gave it to me. He said, by revelation, I caught it from him. Very original. He said, after I gave my life to Christ, I didn't see Peter. For it was after 14 years I visited him. To show you that this thing I received, nobody handed it over to me. I got it directly from God. And I keep telling people, your daily encounters with God, that you do with, look, I'm not against daily devotional booklet. If you have it, thank God for that. It's an addition. All right? But make sure you hear God yourself. Let God speak to you by himself. The woman of Samaria, very good preacher. The first time she ever encountered Christ, she went back to the city. She said to the men, all the men who slept with her, come see a man better than you. All of you, you've been sleeping with me. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. And the men came out because of the testimony of that woman. And after they came out and met Jesus, they asked him, can you stay more days? And the Bible says Jesus spent 2 more days. And after those 2 days, you know what they said to the woman of Samaria? They said, we believe now. Not just because of your testimony. Say, we have heard him ourselves. That's an encounter. They brought them to Christ. But after they were brought to Christ, they had Christ themselves. No man should stand as Christ in your life. Yeah. John started it with us. John said, behold you, the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world. He pointed men to Jesus. And that day, he tried it first. 2 disciples he lost. May we lose our disciples to Jesus. He lost those disciples. The two following, he lost them to Jesus. They started following Jesus. Because he pointed them to Jesus. And they said, we had, one of them was Simon Peter. Simon Peter never started by following Jesus. He started following who? John the Baptist. But when his attention was pointed to Jesus, he began to hear Jesus by himself. When are you going to hear God yourself? God speaks. God speaks to those men who speak with him. God communes with people who incline their hearts and their ears to hear him. He showed him a bush that was on fire but was not consumed. The Bible says, when God saw that Moses turned to behold that sight, God started speaking. When you give God attention, he will start speaking. Open your ears. Open your heart. In the year that King Uzziah died, I also, as it's happening in the palace, it's happening in the church. As it is happening in Aso Rock, it's happening here. They must not be the only one making news headlines. Our encounters with God must give us something to show to the world. We have met him. We have had him. We have been with him. They looked at Peter and John. What did they say about them? The Council of the Sanhedrin in Judges 4. The Bible said they looked on Peter and John and they took knowledge of them. They were unlearned and ignorant men. They perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they took knowledge of them. They had been with Jesus. Your encounters have not changed you. What's the meaning of that? You didn't encounter him. Your encounters have not changed your characters. The same old you, we are still seeing. After many years of giving your life to Christ, your dressing has not changed. Your speech has not changed. You still curse. You still abuse. Yet you read the Bible. Have you seen a tree bringing forth two types of fruits? Why are you so strange? Why are you so different? Everything appearing in you is against nature. You come to church, your life has not changed. You pray, we have seen no change. You sing like us, you dance like us. You have our language, but no change in your heart, no change in your character. An encounter that cannot produce a change that we can see in your life is not true. It must be fake. How could you pray for 1 hour and you finish that prayer only to be abusing people everywhere? I was a student, an undergraduate. I was traveling to UI from Akure. And in front of American Grammar School, I took this bus. And there was this woman inside, very tough woman, very stubborn woman. She quarreled with everybody inside that bus before we did. A 30-seater bus. A man that will marry this one is in trouble. If one woman can scatter this place. And when the driver came, ignited the engine, this woman stood up, said, "Let us pray." That didn't bother me, honestly. I thought she was going to, you know, very dominant. I thought she was going to appoint somebody to pray. She prayed herself, and she was quoting scriptures. So I opened my eyes. There was no correlation between the character she displayed and the prayer she was praying. And you tell somebody you are born again, and they will ask you. I went with a man on evangelism to preach in a hospital. One of his friends was in that hospital being treated for stroke. And as we're preaching to the man turned to his friend who came with me. He said, "We were together in the civil service for 35 years. You didn't preach to me. When did you receive Jesus?" This was a man who taught me in secondary school, who had been a Christian since the time I knew him in 1983. And somebody was now asking, "When did you give your life to Christ?" He had been a Christian since I knew him. The old SU type. But you know what? In the civil service, he was never a Christian. He didn't show himself a child of God. Encounters that produce no character. Encounters that didn't reflect the image of Christ. Encounters that have not changed your nature. Say, "That's who I am. That's who I am." You don't know who you are. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. He said, "Behold, all things have become new." I made a mistake one day. I was driving from Ijapo, going to Alagbaka, years back. Not too far. I'd been a Christian. I was already preaching, and I disappointed Christ. Since that time, I had talked to myself. This guy was not driving very well. I didn't like, and so I got to his side. Excuse me, I didn't say anything. God is my witness. I just did like this. Did I say anything? And I overtook him and drove off. And the guy accelerated. Boom. And got to my side. Guess what I was waiting for? Maybe you also would do like this. Didn't do that. He said, "My pastor." I just didn't. I disappointed myself. It was as if the ground should open and swallow me with my car. So this person must have seen me preach somewhere. You can imagine stepping out here after preaching, and I was doing like this to you. Since that day, I've been a Christian behind the wheels. I was driving one day, one woman called me. She said, "Stupid idiot." Oh, my wife, I said, "Don't talk. Don't talk. Stupid, I won't reply you." The thing pained me, but I didn't do anything. You know what? The life of Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I want to show the life of Christ, who when he was revived, revived not again. When he was slapped, he turned the other cheek. Said, am I a fool? I'll show you I'm not a fool. This Christianity has tied our hands. It has turned us to fools for Christ. There are things people do to me. I say, oh, painful. You know, now it doesn't pain me again, but it used to pain me. I say, Kai, I wish I were not born again. I wish I were not a preacher. Before you say anything, I say, we know him. Evangelist, okay? So the thing has captured us. Encounters with God will make you lose self. In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord. I saw him. I met him. I encountered him. Can you come out of your closet in one morning and declare to everybody, God spoke to me this morning? And everybody will be quiet. Everybody will be quiet. Everybody is looking for somebody who has a word from the Lord. What have you brought back? What have you brought back? What did God tell you on the mountain? Tell us. The world is waiting to see the result of your encounters with him. That you have met him. You need something to give to your generation. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. How did he see the Lord? He said, I saw the Lord high, sitting on a throne, upon a throne, high, and what? And I like this part. His strength did what? His strength, not just the excess of his garment he wore. His strength, his entourage, filled the temple. His servants, his prophets, his men and women, they did what? But the temple in Jerusalem that he entered into in chapter 2 of the book of John was not filled with his train. What filled that temple? Thieves and robbers. Thieves and robbers. When we encounter the Lord, his train will fill the temple. That temple in Jerusalem was filled by robbers and thieves. His train didn't fill that temple. Some other people had taken over. Some other people were in charge. Greedy men, covetous men, selfish men were in charge. How could I be on the pulpit and be looking for money? How could I be preaching and be preaching for money when kidnappers kidnap? Why? What are they looking for? They're looking for money. Kidnappers on the pulpit. Kidnappers in the house of prayers. And all they are looking for is money because there was no encounter. His strength filled the temple. When will your husband say you have changed? When will your wife say, I have noticed my husband is a different person? If people around you cannot say you are different, nobody in the church should say you are different. The day my wife told me you are trying, I clap for myself. She knows me more than any other person. Say, my husband, you are trying. You are becoming better. My children also know me. When I get angry, my second son will say, Daddy, cool down. And you know why I get angry? Each time I get angry, I check my prayer life. I have not prayed. I have not prayed. I have not read my Bible. Go on. I'm telling you the truth. I have not met him. Look, when I finish praying, I'm the most gentle person on earth. So I keep myself close to God to remain gentle. Encounters with God. His strength fill the temple. The church will change if we encounter him. The church will be filled. Because as they were crying, holy, 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 smoke came up. And that smoke, if it were in the New Testament, it would be called the glory. We are not seeing God's glory because we have not encountered him. Where is the man? Where is the woman? Who will go to God and say, Lord, I want to meet with you. Hey. Moses appeared among the elders of Israel. He said, the God of our fathers have met with us. But before he came out to say that, he asked God, if they ask me, what is the name of that God? What will I say? How can I represent you when I don't know your name? How I cannot stand and prophesy and speak on your behalf when I cannot speak about you. By the time God was done with him, he came out and began to declare what he had. And each time Pharaoh said, no way, the man will go back to God. And God will say, this is the next thing I will do. He revealed his ways unto Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. We are not seeing the acts of God because we don't know his ways. And why is it that we don't know his ways? We have not gone there. We have not met him. We have not encountered him. We have not met him. Why would a man, they call him Bar Jesus, seeking to turn away the deputy from Christ, as Paul was preaching? But Paul had met Christ. And the Bible says, Paul, or Saul, who also is called Paul, full of the Holy Ghost, said, oh, you full of all subtlety, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of righteousness, would that not stop to provide the righteousness of the Lord? He said, and now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you. And he brought judgment on that man. That's a man who met God. That's a man who had been there. He could come out and speak for God. He could come out and be his ambassador. He could come out and represent him and say, this is what, look, in his day, they told us about Archbishop I heard him, I said, when he preached. They told him, even God cannot stop the conference of witches and wizards in Benin City. He said, why should God stop it when I'm here? Why should God come and stop it when I'm here? Will God mind us when I'm here? Look, I'm here for him. They said, why will you stop it? He said, not that I will stop it, I've stopped it. He said, I've stopped it. And that was the end. They said, how will you stop it? He said, no, not that I will stop it. I have stopped it. You know what he did before he came out to say that? You know what God told him? He said, when the man stood up, he said, if you say this, you are dead. If you say this this way, I hit you. Are you a witch? The man denied, I'm not a witch. If you tell me you are a witch, I will hit you. Are you a witch? I'm not. So you can't host them because you are not one of them. That was the end. You must go to God and say, Lord, I want to encounter you. I want to see you. I want to meet with you. So when I step out, I can step out confidently. I can step out and face any man. I can step out and face any opposition. I can face any devil from hell. I can face any man possessed of demon anywhere. Because I carry a different spirit. I've encountered him. His strength filled the temple, and the angels were crying one to another. And it got to a point after meeting him. He said, I'm a man. Look, woe is unto me. He began to pronounce woes on himself. You can't see Jesus. You can't meet Jesus and not see your unworthiness. Each time you pray and you really meet him, you will cry. His holiness will reveal your own unholiness. When last did you pray and you were crying before him? Not because of a life challenge, not because of a problem you are facing, not because of the mountain standing before you. When last did you pray? Because you saw him and you were crying. You were in tears. And you couldn't leave. And you could not even pray one of the prayer points you brought. One prayer point you brought, you couldn't pray them because you met him. And by the time you were done, every prayer point answered without asking for anything. You think he hears you because of the number of prayer points? Huh? And you line them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. One encounter will solve every problem. Let me tell you, your prayer points will reduce if you meet him. All these long prayer points you have not met him. They don't go beyond your lips. They are not from the heart. I challenge every man, every woman here, go back to your closet. Meet him one-on-one. Beyond what we preach. Beyond what anybody is preaching from the altar. Go and meet him one-on-one. Say, Pastor, you don't need to talk again. God spoke to me. This is what I should do. And they are begging you to serve God. You have not met him. They are begging you, pleading with you. You have not met him. Men who actually met God, nobody needed to compel them. And at the end of the day, what happened? God began to speak to this same man. He said, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? But you have sent him. You have sent him where? In chapter 1. And in chapter 6, God was still asking, whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? God does not send men who have not encountered him. Go and find out. He ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he may send them forth.
Be with me first, and then I will send them. He is the one who judges who qualified to be commissioned.
You are not the one who says, I'm ready to go. When you have, he has done with you, he will send you forth. No man lights a candle and puts it where? Under a bushel. When God has lighted your life, he will put you where everybody will see you.
Somebody is covering my glory. There is no glory to cover. God's glory cannot be covered. They don't allow me to manifest my gift. It's a lie.
When he lights a candle, he puts it where? On a candlestick, that it may give light to everyone who is in the house. Let God light your life. Let God put his fire upon you. Whom shall I send? And the next question, who will go for us? Because there are so many people who are going for themselves, who are serving themselves, whose God is their belly. Governor Fayo Shofekiti stayed there, called it stomach infrastructure. It's just to take care of their belly. How many people are in ministry for belly's sake? If there is no offering, if there are no tithes, will you still be a pastor? Can you see money and walk away? Can you see money and turn your back? I need something more than this. When all things become shadows in the light of him, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Many are going, but for themselves. God is looking for people who will go for him. But those people must have been with him first. I told my children when they were young, none of you is going to boarding school. Say, no. I said, my friend, stay here with me. All of you, we wake up and we sleep together in this house. You go nowhere now. And I pump everything I know to their hearts. The moment they step into school, I told them, I have released you. If you misbehave now, take responsibility for your misbehavior. I am not responsible. Everything I needed to do as a father, I have done. I brought you up properly. I invested into your life. If you step out of this house to backslide, your blood is on your own head. I told them, if you go to hell, it's your responsibility. I'm not to be blamed. Everything I needed to do as a father for a child, I have done for all four of you. If anybody deceives you out there, it's your fault. I've shown you the word of God. I've prayed with you. Sometimes early in the morning, 5 a.m., I carry the two boys. We do prayer walk from my house. About 1, 2, 3 kilometers, and we return home. If I've invested so much and you get out to misbehave, your blood on your own head. God will not blame me because I brought you to God and you have encountered him. How much I struggled to make you to know Christ. How much I struggled to lay hands on you to receive the Holy Ghost. The first one I lay hands on them, they didn't receive. I got angry with them. I go everywhere preaching, lay hands on people receiving the Holy Ghost. You didn't receive. Pass at them, my friend. What's wrong with you? And then they took them to Glory Tabernacle after taking them through a class. And as they were dipping both of them inside water baptism, two of them, the same time, came out speaking in tongues. I was so happy. And I didn't know until their pastor, Demola Folorunsha, came and told me. He said, they are speaking in tongues. They said, you are speaking in tongues. Oh yeah, open your mouth and speak. And they spoke. I said, correct. That's how to speak. Oh yeah, more. Increase the volume. I said, correct. And stop whispering in tongues and speak in tongues. And I went to preach in Pastor Shiyo's Sunny Beast Church. And my third child, my daughter, went with me the last day. And as I began to preach, things began to happen. The atmosphere changed. The power of God began to move. And all kinds of things were happening. And I looked at the direction of my daughter. She was in tears. She was crying. She was sobbing. So I was actually going to check her. So I lay my hands till I got to where she was. Said, Demilade, come on, say it out. Kabalabalabalaba, correct. And I went to preach in Adonde. The whole family went. And in the hotel we lodged, we came back Sunday morning for the family devotion. And the Lord spoke to me, lay hands on my last born. She was 12 years old. All of them received at the age of 12. So God said, lay hands on her. So I lay my hands on her. She didn't speak.
But God, you say I should lay my hands. 4 days later, she got angry with her older ones at home. And then we're going to church. And I was telling her we're trekking. I said, Tejumade, you get angry too much. He said, that's why you didn't receive the Holy Ghost when I lay hands on you. He said, I lay hands on you on Sunday, you didn't receive. He said, Daddy, you lay hands on me. I didn't speak that time. But by the time we got to that church where you preach, I began to speak. I said, yeah. I said, oh, yeah, open your mouth. Each of them met God. Each of them encountered God. Why will you not encounter God? And you can encounter Him every day of your life. Before you step out in the morning, you could have met with God. In Bible study, in prayer, blessed is the man who heareth God daily, watching daily at my gates. Every day of your life, don't be too busy to have time for God. You can meet Him, and the proof you have met Him is a change of life. It is not everything you are told on the pulpit. There is an encounter you have that changes everything about you. You just change. How does it happen? You encountered Him. You met Him. And having met Him like that, if anybody now comes up, you won't come up to sing like that, I know. Any moko, any komo. Say, my friend, that's wrong. That's Shango. That's not Jesus. Go and ask the woman with the issue of blood. Go and ask the woman who was bent over. When she met Him, she straightened up. Your life will straighten up when you meet Him. You still raise your hand to beat your wife, you are a disgrace. You still lock your husband's shirt. Say, go and look at your mate. You should have gone to marry his mate. You have not met Him. If you meet Him, your marital life will be better than this. If you have met Him, your husband will know, your wife will know. Even your children will say, Mommy has changed. But if none of them has said that, something is still wrong. There are queries to answer. And you must settle them in His presence. No man ever met Him and remained the same. No man ever met Him and his life never changed. If you really prayed and you encountered God, some things will drop off your life. Draw near unto God. He will draw near to you. And there are some things that will start to drop as you draw near, because they can't go with you into His presence. Except you go there, you drop there, you go there. And when you are coming back, what do you do? Those of you who have given your life to Christ 10 times, that is what you have been doing. You surrender your life to Christ. After you surrender, they say, go back to your seat. You pick it up again. You pick it up again. Drop it. Don't pick it up again. Leave it there. Let God do with your life whatever He pleases. And let me tell you, nobody has ever committed his life unto Him and the life is spoiled. I know the God in whom I believe, and I am persuaded whatsoever thing is committed into His hand is able also to keep. Commit your life to God. Commit your future to God. You are talking about houseman. You are talking about your profession. Commit everything to God. You will be safe in His hand. He's able to save unto the uttermost those who trust in Him. And as we pray this afternoon, I trust you will encounter God. As you pray, as you close your eyes, may you see Jesus seated upon the throne, and His train filled the temple. He says, seated upon the throne, high and lifted up. When you see Him enthroned on the tablet of your heart, your life will change. You get home and everybody says, you have changed. You have met Him. He's no longer the same person we used to know. She's no longer the same person we used to know. There has been a change. I'm talking about a change that does not come from the outside to the inside. I'm talking about a change that starts from the inside to the outside. That is what God will do in your life, beginning from this convention, in the name of Jesus. Shall we rise up on our feet as we pray?